Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Watcher. It's the Luke and Pete Show with me, Pete Donaldson, and I'm also joined by Mr. Luke Moore. How you doing, Luke Moore?
What's better than recording a podcast?
Recording a podcast and the microphone's actually working?
Recording it twice. Listen, we've got no excuse not to do a belting episode this time around because we've already done this one.
Well, we've already done this one, but also I was very ill in the night because I'd gone to the wrong Chinese. Wrong Chinese place, Gromit.
So I'm not feeling top tip.
Regular
listeners to this, you mean tip top? Top tip is like a bit of advice top you give tip. Someone. Mm. Regular listeners to the Luke and Pete Show will know that Peter's tradition is to
tradition!
Get...
Is that fiddling on the roof?
Maybe.
Right. Is the tradition of running around on the roof, is that a tradition?
You shouldn't
be on the roof. That's not a tradition unless you are a...
And you should not be fiddling.
...of chimney.
And you should not be fiddling up there.
Now, my dad works in a solicitor's, and one of the cases he had to deal with was he's an admin assistant in his later life after his chemical works and mining little adventures.
Yeah.
My dad's very much like a video game character that turns his hand to anything over the years. Like Miner Willie, you got tea down your front there.
I know, it's always the way.
Yeah, always a bit. He had to deal with or serve papers to a man who was masturbating in his front window.
Right.
And the solicitor, his defence, had to work out the angle of being able to see his wanger.
Right, yeah.
From the ground.
Evidence is important.
So they were working out how much of the person they could see. So they were getting his assistant to walk up to the window, the same height of the defendant, and check whether he could see his junk. And you couldn't, so that he got off scot-free.
I bet he did get off.
So I'm saying that the fiddler on the roof...
Right.
From the vantage point of the ground, or even a fairly high window, you probably wouldn't be able to see him wanking.
Depends on the angle of the roof as well, though.
Yeah.
But when you said tradition, then you sounded, you really reminded me of Mark E. Smith, lead singer of The Fall. Obviously, the dearly, sadly departed Mark E. Smith. And because you sounded a bit like him. And one of the best ever intros to any song ever.
Mm.
I forget which one it is now. It's a Fall song, and it starts with Mark E. Smith going into the mic and going, right... Notebooks out, plagiarists. brilliant intro.
He's one of those blokes, just need to get into Depeche Mode, The Fall. I need to get into all of these bands.
Mark E. Smith, I think it's an autobiography called Renegade. It's a brilliant read.
Mm.
I mean, some of the advice in it's amazing. Like, you'd never have more than 2 chairs in your house because you don't want the place turning into a damn hippie commune.
he got rid of, he used to have like a little Marie Kondo style clear out of everything every couple of years. Which made compiling best ofs quite difficult because he didn't have a master's. Just threw them all out.
Did he?
Get out of it.
Wow, amazing. There was that story recently in the US of a big fire that wiped out a load of masters that never be recovered again.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I forget which artists were involved.
Mr. Blobby.
Some pretty good ones. But anyway.
Mr. Blobby.
Yeah, it was Mr. Blobby. It turns out the only ones that have been ruined were the Mr. Blobby single, Informer by Snow.
Yes.
Jump by Chris Cross.
They'll never get remixed.
And the original print of Cool as Ice, the Vanilla Ice movie.
Nobody will ever, ever, ever be able to sample those tunes and those samples.
It turns out.
Terrible business. Yeah,
can I just say that Informer by Snow and Jump by Chris Cross are both tunes.
They are. Did you see that Katy Perry got in trouble for copying a Christian...
Books out, plagiarists.
Yeah, copying a Christian rapper, which is very much stealing from the blind, really, isn't it?
It's like,
Yeah, I mean. But it, I think that's terrible blurred lines. Who's that fella? Robin Thicke.
Yeah.
And his terrible performance, his excruciating performance in court, has set an ugly precedent. So everyone's going to have a go now.
I think he's set an ugly precedent in a lot of ways. Well,
yeah, exactly. It's the Rapist Charter. But he... him doing that and making a jury be so turned off by a man so that he lost all of that money means that everyone's going to have a pop at whoever.
Who would be more turned off? An audience looking at Robin Thicke in that situation or an audience looking at you after that Chinese last night?
I just think that with stuff like that, you need an expert jury. You can't have... I know you've got expert witnesses and expert who could talk about... you know, samples and chord progressions and stuff like that. But I think you need an expert jury in cases like that, because there's knowing music and then there's knowing.
So you'd like it to be more of an industry tribunal kind of thing?
Hugely, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, so as I was saying, people who listen to the show regularly will know that Peter's tradition to himself is is spending between £50 and £60 on a Chinese, a succulent Chinese meal.
It does me two two goes.
Get through the week or whatever. But that's sadly, things have sadly gone awry last night. So last night, overnight to this morning?
Well, I knew that it was the launch of the Football Ramble Daily, so I thought, how can I sabotage this by eating some rotten meat? It was very nice, but something went very wrong. And I woke up with a terrible tum-tum at 6 o'clock in the morning going, oh dear.
Have you been back to sleep since?
I've been back to sleep since, yeah.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah, I know.
I've got some actually quite troubling news. Do you remember Nadia from Big Brother then? That was a contestant on Big Brother.
Yeah, the transsexual.
Yeah, I mean Nadia from Bake Off, not to be confused.
Yes.
She does a recipe section. I think she does a TV show called Nadia's Time to Eat, I think. Anyway, she does.
Was Nadia Mbrugra the first transsexual on television? Kind of as in like a mid.
I believe that may be the case.
Kind of.
I believe so.
Kind of show.
I'm not a Big Brother fan, so it would be difficult for me to know, but I wouldn't be surprised. Anyway, Nadia on Bake Off also does a list of recipes on the BBC website, which is a fantastic resource, not least their news round section, which obviously sent our show haywire on Thursday as soon as I mentioned the words Posbury Clump.
You actually, as the mics fucked up, to excuse my parlance, you said, technically speaking, and then our speaky technicals just exploded.
Well, it's Posbury Clump. It's a volcanic eruption from Posbury Clump, the previously thought dormant volcano on the newsround side of the BBC, newsround section of the BBC website.
Yeah.
But anyway, Nadia Hussain does recipes on the BBC website as well. In the food section, of course, and she's got a recipe on here at the moment for meatloaf roll, and I it was just served up to me in the BBC carousel, and obviously they know me well. They just serve up food pictures to me, and I click on them, and this was a meatloaf, but it had an egg in it in the cross section photo,
like a long.
I thought it could
egg.
Be a long egg,
a long egg.
It could be a long egg.
Keith Cooks.
Yeah. Maybe Nadia's a disciple of Keith Cooks. So I checked out the method in the recipe.
It's quite Jesus-like, as Keith Cooks.
Yeah, and I was greeted with this. Mm. Ready? Line up the hard-boiled eggs in a row down the centre of the rectangle, short end to short end.
Nadia, you're already cooking some really terrible British food.
Rather like a long Scotch egg.
It's not a long. You don't have to indulge. Just cook anything. You don't have to cook that. That's awful.
The long eggs come across.
Mm.
She's arrived late into the box. And she's spooned the long egg over the bar.
Terrible.
Now, such a missed opportunity.
Let us down there. Because you'd have to mess around with the waste pipe, as Keith Cooks used to make. He used to make the long eggs with a waste pipe. Don't say waste pipe, Keith. No. That's not the word to use.
Don't say waste pipe when you're talking about food.
I beat myself up about stuff a lot, and I think...
It's one of my favourite entertainers.
Keith Cooks being aware of our work and us talking about him... makes me a little sad inside, because he said it was a little bit ill-mannered, he said, or something, didn't he?
The memories live on.
Yeah, and I feel very guilty about that.
It was affectionate, though, wasn't it?
It was affectionate. Who else is talking about Keith Cooks?
I think
you're talking about Keith Cooks?
Sometimes I think people mistake my manner for being scathing or you know, disappointed or kind of like piss taken. But I'm not always like that. Sometimes I'm just genuinely interested.
I'm actually glad that we re-recorded this show. I mean, we're not reusing the thing, so we're just doing another show, basically.
Because of all the racism you put in the last one?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I had to get rid of that. The microphone just went, you know what, Pete? I'm saving you from yourself here.
Yeah. Well, we missed out on... Oh, sorry, go on, you go first.
I went to a really, really fun party. Like a garden party on Saturday in Nebworth, and the dad of the person I went to the party with, it was actually Joe. You remember we did the Windsor Knot?
Yeah.
Josh Krebels, who is one of those Windsor Knotters.
Yeah.
Actually, they were both there, but it was his birthday, his 30th. And his dad is a Michael Keaton lookalike. Like, not lookalike as in...
Like a professional one?
Like a professional on-set double.
Is he?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
He plays Michael Keaton.
Does he actually look like him?
He does. Like a lot from the back as well. Like you could not tell the difference in the back. So I was like, just following him around going, wow, this is so cool.
That's brilliant. What
so
a great
I've
job.
I've become obsessed.
Does it pay well?
Yeah, I think so. And like, you know, you get to hang out with apparently like Danny DeVito and that were on set going, hey, it's Michael Keaton.
That's amazing, isn't it?
How cool is that? He was really nice. So I met a Michael Keaton double. So if you see in the long shots of Dumbo, which I think might be out now or out soon.
That's been out for a while.
It's been out for a while.
I didn't know he was in that. I thought it was a Colin Farrell Danny DeVito vehicle.
Yeah, I think he's there. I think he's some kind of ringmaster. I think he's the malevolent ringmaster.
Right, okay. I think he would play that role fairly well.
Yes.
One thing that was missed out on the now infamous Lost show is that we talked a lot about rolling of R's.
All right, yeah.
And I can't do it and you can.
Mm.
And you were saying how it adds a lot of impact to a statement or a speech or a song.
Rite petit. It's a good example.
It's the best example, I would say.
The best example.
Probably the best example you can think of.
Mm.
And I was saying the guy from that new band, Fontaines DC, does it
quite a bit.
And obviously Julian Assange does it when he's arrested from eating a succulent Chinese meal. He says this is Democracy Manifest, right?
Oh, that's quite good. Democracy Manifest.
That's it, exactly. He's got a bit of the Oliver Reed about him, that guy.
He has a little bit. Apparently it's really confusing. Like somebody pointed out that it's a three camera setup, so I think it might be staged, you know. Why do they have to steal everything good away from us?
No, it's not. It can't be. I'll tell you it's not staged. I'll tell you why.
Why has he got three cameras then?
Well, because the story, if you look at the backstory, he is a guy who had been running from restaurants without paying the bill for years.
Yeah.
And he was quite a big crime story.
Mm.
And they realised they finally found this. All the news networks went.
Why would one network bring three cameras? Bring three cameras, Luke.
No, they probably submitted footage to a central database and then someone came in and edited it.
they're usually really...
But it could be a YouTuber who's cutting it together.
Really? That seems strange.
So I used to work with a guy who insisted, like, and it was the most cynical thing in the world.
I hate to be a Democracy Manifest truther, but I fear we might have been done on this one.
And what do you think about this one then? Because you know a lot about the internet. A guy I used to work with used to always say... Mm. And this is probably maybe 2 years ago, that nothing on the internet, nothing, is organically viral. Nothing.
What do you mean?
So it's all paid behind it, money behind it, content provided, all that kind of stuff.
No.
You disagree with that?
I disagree with that, yes.
All right, good. Dan Thomas, I hope you're listening.
Yeah, hear that, Dan?
Yeah. Yeah.
What's Reddit for, then, mate?
I've got a broken ear. It's part internet.
I'm going to downvote you in a minute.
Yeah. Maybe he meant anything commercial, perhaps.
Yeah. Anything like that. Yeah, you that's part of the budget of getting the bloody video out, isn't it?
Unless you football ramble daily and you smash into 250,000 views with no money behind it at all.
Why are people looking at that?
Because you're in it.
Oh.
And you had that Chinese guy stalking you in the background.
He was Chinese, yeah.
Yeah.
I've noticed that a lot of street photographers just basically hang around Chinatown. And like, if you're living in a city that has a Chinatown,
just enough for the
Christmas shredded beef. In Chinatown, if you've got a Chinatown in your city, you're probably thinking, "Hey, it's a big old bit of town, or Koreatown or whatever, in Los Angeles. Mm. We've just got a little street, haven't we? It's a tiny little street in Soho.
You live in it, don't you?
I live behind it. Yeah. Shaftesbury Avenue between me and it, It just seems street photography. Modern street photography is just find a Chinese person, take a picture of them. Mm. If you go to any, if you go to any street photography kind of receptacle, any Instagram street photographer, all they're doing is going up to Chinese people in Chinatown and taking a picture of them. It just seems to be the thing to do.
My favourite Instagram photography account is the one, I forget what it's called now. It might just be the Visit Scotland account, which is essentially just amazing photos of Scottish castles. It's amazing.
Really long exposure, waterfalls, yeah. So that the water looks really foamy.
Yeah, all I do, sometimes they'll recycle the same castle once every 2 or 3 days. I don't mind though.
There he is again.
Yeah, I don't mind.
Liberty Bell.
Before we go on to taking a quick break and then going to emails, mm-hmm. another story that I really wanted to include, Peter, that you will be interested in, mm-hmm. is, what about this? Someone went and found the baby from Labyrinth.
Okay, right.
So you know the baby that is kidnapped in Labyrinth, the David Bowie film? and he's now 35.
Right, okay.
Okay. He's a puppeteer.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah, what
a story. I've got a lot of time for that.
He was apparently absolutely fascinated by the fantastic characters that surrounded his childhood. Mm. And now he makes short films and features. Usually he specialises in trolls, but he's also worked on blockbuster films such as the Narnia movies. Mm. And he says he's always been immersed in this fantasy world and he has vivid memories of the faces of goblins, trolls and other fantastic creatures. He also remembers peeing on David Bowie's lap.
Liar.
It's a lie.
Complete that. Bullshit, that.
Because I think he was about 6 months old. So yeah, I'm not
having that one. But no. It's fascinating that has he managed to resurrect Hoggle? Because I think we spoke about this before, that Hoggle has been left to come into some sort of state of disrepair. Because
you know, Hoggle's actually at the... So, we've talked about this before, but very, very quickly, Hoggle was left as an unclaimed piece of baggage, or at least one of them was, and is on show at a thrift store in, I think, Huntsville, Alabama.
Really?
Yeah. There's three of them, though.
Right.
There were three used.
Well, there was one that's not been kept very well because of the foam in his nose and stuff is all... You know, like that. If you ever buy an old computer off of eBay, you'll occasionally get this bright yellow fire-retardant foam, which looks like asbestos or something.
Yeah.
And it doesn't keep very well. And it just kind of crumbles into a fine dust. I think that's what happened to Hoggle's nose.
That's a shame.
So the whole face of Hoggle. Give it a Google. Hoggle now. Type that into Google.
Well, shall I type
and
in?
you'll find some horrible pictures of Hoggle in some state of disrepair.
Labyrinth Hoggle now. All right.
Look at him. Look at the state of him.
Oh, that is horrific. That's really, really
sad. There's your
sad.
Childhood baby.
I can't look at it.
There's your childhood baby. But then they managed to kind of redo it up and he looks bloody awful. Look at the state of that.
Yeah,
it doesn't look anything like
it. He looks like he's been on crack. I should have left it. All right, Pete, let's take a quick break. And after that, we'll come back with some email.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
We'll come back.
She's going to report me for saying bugger, you know. Oh, just wait till I see your mother. You're in real trouble. Oh, I tell you, if you're going to go and see her, then tell her this booger-shaped funk shit fucking sphincter.
There we go.
If Brian Blessed did grow up to be slightly an old man right-wing kind of character, I'm glad he hasn't expressed it yet.
I think he's one of those people who's a bit above the whole political thing.
Right.
Because he seems to be someone who just operates on like a higher plane. You know, the royal family refused to sue anyone for libel.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, they killed a man. They killed Diana.
Peter.
Diana.
Do you want a Julian Assange update?
I remember hurtling through Paris in a taxi. And
please don't. Are you going to continue with this?
What? I'm just saying the taxi driver said, Hey, lads, do you want to go through the tunnel? And we're like, oh, all right then. And then he took us through the tunnel. That's what taxi drivers do in Paris,
yeah,
it seems.
On the way to where you were going.
Would you like to je regarde le crash site?
You've got no shame, Mr. Donaldson.
Why have I got no shame?
Why are you?
I said, yes, please, I would like to see that.
I'm calling this show England's Rose.
That's Danny Rose.
hello@lukeandpeteshow.com is the email address, of course, for those of you who want to get in touch about anything at all. We always love to hear from you. Loads of people in the iTunes reviews say the best part of the show is they're reading out other people's stories, so make of that what you will.
It's self-propagating content, I would say.
Yeah,
that's what I'd call it.
Yeah. Julian Assange update, Pete, from Jamie.
J.A.
Hi, guys. I really enjoyed the pod you make. They ensure my days at work on my lonesome travelling the streets of London go that much quicker. So I'd like to say thank you and keep doing what you're doing. He doesn't explain what his job actually is there, but travelling the streets of London could be anything. Right. A couple of episodes ago, Luke stated there hadn't been a Julian Assange update for a while, so I thought I'd drop in to provide what I can. I've just moved to a new place. And on my route into and back out of the busy streets of the capital, I passed Her Majesty's Prison, Belmarsh, where the great man is incarcerated. Although not really an update on the man himself, I can confirm he has acquired a strong contingent of disciples willing to protest for him outside the prison walls, which seems to be growing and growing and growing. I first passed the spot a couple of weeks ago, where a solitary supporter stood with his banner in hand. A couple of days ago, I passed again and noticed a 200% increase in followers. That's right, a 200% increase. There are now three men doing their part to get my man Julian released. Mm. Please find photos attached of the guys, and he attaches photos. So people now know that Her Majesty's Prison, Belmarsh, is housing Julian Assange.
Mm.
And they're, spending their time outside there with banners. I mean, what do you think about that, Peter?
I think the whole situation is fascinating. I mean, again, you start off saying, oh my God, he's a man of, the people, releasing things that we should know about. And then, oh no, he's a puppet for the Russians.
He's a Russian asset.
He's a Russian asset.
Can I find, how many people in the world now aren't Russian assets? Hardly any.
I'm not perjuring myself.
No,
you can't. I'm not perjuring myself. I'm not getting involved, to be honest.
Can't get involved. Exactly.
Hear that?
Yeah. Are you blinking the words torture in Morse code there to the camera? Did you know that story?
What?
But the guy who was kidnapped he's caught as a prisoner of war in the Vietnam War.
Oh, right. And
he blinked out torture in Morse code while he was giving a statement to the camera.
Torture!
Yeah.
He could have said, I love you.
Amazing presence of mind.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Incredible, torture. Really.
You know what? I'm blinking.
Yeah, that's the That's
help. The light's too high.
That's you. That looks like you sexually propositioning someone.
Julian Assange. I was reading that he. I'm literally reading for the piece. I'm not going to pretend. Julian Assange maintained an unusual amount of power during his stay at the Ecuadorian embassy. Apparently, he had full control over visitors. He created a list of people who were allowed to enter the embassy without showing identification or being searched by security.
Who does he think he is?
Who do you think he is? And he met them in the women's bathroom to avoid the cameras.
And then he was carried out in an undignified way with a wispy beard.
What do you reckon that they gave him? I mean, they must have been handing him contraband.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Would you like to have been one of those policemen that was tasked with just standing outside the embassy for 5 years? Presumably yes, they rotate that around, because that is a waste of a career. That
I mean, there are jobs like that in the police service that I imagine people don't really relish. But you know, do you want to be chasing scooter gangs, or do you want to be just standing around for a bit?
Like when Lester Freeman was in The Wire, was put on desk duty, and he ended up fashioning those very beautifully made and rendered pieces of Doll's House furniture.
He, it wasn't Lester, it was that guy who goes, shit.
Clay Davis.
Yeah, Clay Davis. He was in Hackers, the TV show. The film.
Which is the subject of the first episode of Clash of the Titles, right?
Correct. That's why I was watching the trailer to
Alex Zane's new Stakhanov podcast, Clash of the Titles. If you like movies and you like Alex Zane, and to be honest, you should like both of those things, because Alex Zane's a lovely man. And movies are important and good. Check it out.
Yes.
What about this from Will? Hi, chaps. In show 186, you briefly mentioned a police chief being tasered to show they were harmless.
Mm.
The man in question is former North Wales Police Chief Richard Brunstrom, an eccentric chap dubbed the Mad Mullah of the Speed Taliban by the tabloids due to his stance on motoring offences. The Mad Mullah of the Speed Taliban. It's not even catchy.
I just think that they couldn't say Nazi anymore.
Mad Mullah.
20 years ago, they would have called him speed camera Nazi, but now they have to call him Taliban.
Apparently, the video is, although very short, it's a very brand Luke and Pete show, as it shows quite a posh man in pain trying not to swear. Bloody hell. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah, I would, actually.
All right, okay. So this is the chief of police at the time, chief of North Wales Police, Richard Brunstrom, being tasered by one of his, one of his
supplicants.
Ready? Here we go. Bloody hell, right, that's long enough, thanks.
That's long enough, thanks.
Excellent. Well, if you're the police officer being asked to do that, imagine that in the morning. Have you got a spare half an hour? Yeah, sure. What do you want me to do?
Taser me, bro.
Do you want taser in your boss? What good is going to come from that?
Yeah, you're not going to. It doesn't matter.
Worst case scenario, you're going to give him a heart attack.
Doesn't matter how into it you are or how into it he is.
Yeah.
He's not going to look unkindly, because you gave him pain. Something in his brain will go, that man gave me pain once.
Every time you cross him in the corridor,
he
is going to go, there's the guy that tasered me.
Yeah.
And you're never going to get a promotion. But I'll tell you what a 13 seconds, though. What a 13 seconds. Highlight the career.
What a rush.
Yeah.
Dave says, hello, chaps. Last year we had to call in a little old fella to dispose of a beehive that had appeared in our loft. He came into our house in full regalia and rummaged about upstairs for about 15 minutes before coming back down the ladder with a bin bag chock full of bees clutched in one gauntleted fist.
A bin bag of bees. That is incredible. That's not a professional at work, is it?
No, it's amazing, isn't it? Lovely chap that he was. He kept the bag in hand all the while as we were writing him a cheque. Oddly enough, there's something about a man in full protective gear holding a bag full of angry flying insects, which encourages a person to include a healthy tip.
That to me feels like it's not official beekeeping apparatus.
What do you mean?
A bin bag.
Well, why would you have any other kind of bag? I'm confused. Well, can't get out, can they?
You should have a container. You should have like a big plastic container or something.
Right. What kind of container would you use? Like a hard plastic container?
Like Tupperware or something?
Yeah, but how would you get that onto, how would you get the lid on?
Because you can get the bees in there.
Right, say you've got a beehive, right? Say it's roughly the size of a gigantic pineapple.
Yeah.
And it's stuck to a ceiling or a wall.
And just as sweet, by the way.
And just as sweet.
Yeah.
If not more so. And you get the bin bag over the top of it, and you pull it off the wall, and it's in the bin bag, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, no, there's a bear's paw in it. Trying to get some of that delicious honey.
But Tupperware, you'd have to put it against the wall or sit, and then you have to put the lid in.
I don't know how many times I have to tell you this, but life isn't a cartoon, Pete.
Well, clearly, this man has chosen...
bin bags are not the apparatus du jour of a beekeeper.
If there are any people who have had any more experiences with beekeepers, if they've ever used
my father-in-law's a beekeeper, I've never seen him with a bin bag.
He's never had to remove. He loves the hives. He wants them there.
Right, I'm telling you something now.
The bin bags. He's just putting the hive in there, and all the bees will be in there with the hive. See,
I think I've actually got a video of him on Facebook collecting a bee swarm from a school.
Right.
You want to see it?
Yeah, I would.
You want to see if there's a bin bag involved?
All right, yeah, I would. Yeah, cool.
All right, we'll just feel for a sec.
How
I'll find it.
I'm going to say, how to remove a beehive.
Here we go. Here we go. Oh, he's using the Tupperware box. Look.
Yeah, but he just script. There's no hive there. It's just a load of fucking bees on a pipe.
If anything, it's harder.
He's like grabbing them with his hands. The deviant.
He's done a very good job there.
He's done a lovely job.
Yeah. Bit of smoke. Get him in the Tupperware.
Yeah.
See you later.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't think if a guy turns up to remove, in this case, a pest. I know bees are very important, but it's essentially removing a pest from your home. If they've got a bin bag in their back pocket, I just think they're amateurish.
It's perfect. I've seen loads of beehive removal. Sounds like a frightening concept.
That's a good band.
But
great
it doesn't
band.
Have to be.
Screamo band.
Make sure you aren't allergic. That's step one. Step two, protect yourself. Beekeeper's veil, leather gloves, blah, blah, blah. Step three, locate the beehive.
Yeah. There you go.
But the best time to perform beehive removal is early spring.
Good to know.
Yeah. What to use? Chemicals. Good insecticide. To remove a beehive, locate it inside your walls. Tap with a hammer and listen for the bees' answering buzz. Ooh.
Tap with a hammer.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Well, one more quick email before we go.
There we go. Dispose of the removed beehive by placing it in a plastic garbage bag you securely tie.
There are different schools of thought, that's all I'm saying. Right, one more email
blind
before we go.
You're blind,
Pete.
Are you?
This is from Jazz, and he says,
Jazz
or Jace? He spells it J-A-S, so I'm going to go with Jazz. Hi, guys. Love the show. What about this? Way back when I was in junior school, I think I was about 9 or 10 years old, there were a group of us who used to walk home from school together as we all lived close to each other. As you can imagine, we used to get up to all sorts, football, tomfoolery, etc.
Wow.
Anyway, this one afternoon as we walked home, we bumped into another group of kids that one of my friends, Craig, knew. It was all very amiable and we sort of knew them, but the exciting thing on this particular day was that one of the boys had a bike, a grifter.
Oh.
Do you remember a grifter?
Kind of, yeah.
So a grifter was the one up from the rally chopper.
Is that the one that had like a gear with a handle rather
on the crossbar?
Right.
Correct.
Yes,
that's
yes,
right,
yes,
yeah. So it had a gear stick down there, Pete, rather than on the
grip.
We hung around for a bit while Craig got a croggy off his mate. I'm not sure if you can get a croggy with a grifter because the gear stick's in the way. But anyway.
Croggy's in the back.
Oh, is it? No, croggy's a crossbar, isn't it?
Nah.
All right, fair enough. That's a backy on the back.
Nah, croggy, mate.
All right. They cycled about a bit while we stood around chatting and watching them do some stunts, in inverted commas. Now, the back reflector light on this particular bike was held in by a very long, very sharp spike. So, as this lad and Craig went up to a curb, the jolt of going up the curb not only knocked the light out of the fitting onto the floor, but also knocked Craig off his bike. Unfortunately, he fell onto this long, sharp spike. There was a hushed moment. I mean, it seems remarkable.
That there was a long, sharp spike.
Yeah, in a product marketed to children. That's the 80s.
Was that on the bike or was it in the street, presumably, though?
It was used to hold the reflector onto the spokes.
Sorry. Right,
There was a hushed moment. Craig screamed, looked down, said, "Oh God, look at my underpants, they're ripped." No one uses the word underpants.
Underpants.
To which one of my friends retorted, "Fuck that, look at your bollocks." Unfortunately for Craig, he had landed on the light and speared his scrotum on the spike.
Oh.
In fairness, you couldn't see that much, although there was a lot of blood. The next few minutes were a bit of a blur, but I remember running to Craig's house, getting his parents, and the ambulance whisking poor Craig to hospital. Luckily, I think he made a full recovery. However, he did walk with an awkward limp for a few months afterwards.
That is the only time I would appreciate the Japanese pornographic practice of blurring out genitals.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I don't want to see that.
That's strange, that.
It's horrible.
That is very, very strange.
Very strange.
That's about it. I mean, there's only one way to end a Luke and Pete show, and that's a child ripping their ballsack open. So cheers for that. Hello,
if
Luke
he does
and
it again, I'll do it again.
Hello at lukeandpete.com to get in touch. We'll be back on Thursday. Have a lovely week. Don't forget to check out all the shows on Football Ramble Daily. You're going to love them. Stay in touch. We'll speak to you soon. Love you lots. Pete, I hope you feel better soon.
I hope the fucking mics work this time.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.